All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
We got news to talk about. Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live. It's Thursday, February 29th, a leap year. Frank, can you believe it? We're live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, and the show, as always, is presented by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Frank Saravalli, the man who barely sleeps. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm a tired and grouchy individual today, so I apologize in advance. But sleep has been hard to come by around here.
Yeah, and you had one of the big scoops yesterday, a massive one out of Vancouver. We have a ton of trade talk. There's a new top 10 on the trade targets we're going to get to later on in the show. But let's start with the news you broke yesterday. Elias Pettersson and the Vancouver Canucks are closing in on a long-term deal. Frank, you had the info last night. And I guess, you know, over the last week, there's been some concern, I think, amongst Canucks fans about the long-term future of Pettersson. So I guess my first question to you is, what changed?
Well, it's certainly a massive development for the Canucks, because this market was on fire over the weekend and heading into the beginning of this week, that I believe Pettersson went to the Canucks and just said, enough of the noise, enough of the nonsense. Let's do this. Let's get it done. And they had been waiting for that moment for a long time. They had been trying to get his side to engage and really had been all over it basically since November on, really trying to get an answer, get him signed up to whatever kind of deal he wanted, whether it was 4 years, 5 years, or the max 8 years. They wanted to ensure that they have their, you know, top, arguably top player and face of their franchise locked up for the foreseeable future for a team that is in pure Stanley Cup contender mode. So once that happened, again, not done, but it's been a significant development over the last 48 to 72 hours for the Canucks, who have been working hard at trying to nail down and put on the finishing touches of what's believed to be an 8-year deal that, could stretch to $100 million in that range. So it's significant for Pettersson, but it's a huge piece of business if they can get it over the finish line for the Vancouver Canucks.
So just to speculate on the cost, somewhere north of Pasternak, south of Matthews, in that range there?
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty fair set of uprights for the Vancouver Canucks to kick through. And I don't think dollars have been an issue. I think the Canucks have been really malleable on almost all of the process here. They just wanted to get it done, whether it's, as I mentioned, term or whatever the AAV looks like. They just want to get him signed up. And the path to doing that is open right now in a way that hadn't been for months.
The Canucks and Swedish superstars is certainly a match made in heaven. And it sounds like Elias Pettersson will be spending the bulk of his prime in Vancouver. Quickly on the Canucks deadline plans, you now have this question mark kind of erased when it comes to the long-term future of your franchise. You said it, they are firmly in Stanley Cup contender mode. Do you think Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford are getting itchy to maybe add a little bit more to this team now and keep the momentum going?
Well, they're always itchy. I mean, they're the most aggressive front office in the league, and I don't think that there's a close second right now in terms of how they've transformed this team over the last calendar year. They've made their big splash already with Lindholm. I don't know that they're going to go out and make another big one, but I'd be very surprised if we get to between now and March 8th at 12 p.m. Pacific time if they don't go out and make another move of some kind to either strengthen the bottom six of this team, which has markedly improved over the last year, or their defense core with another insurance piece. So stand by as you will, but I think the Canucks are certainly in a prime position to do so. At least now, potentially you could consider some other options that you hadn't before. If you wanted to go after a player that has term, you now have, provided that the Pettersson deal gets done, a much better line of sight on what your books look like for the future.
Yeah. The trade market was incredibly quiet over the last couple of weeks, but that changed last night as the Calgary Flames sent defenseman Chris Tanev to Texas. He's going to be a Dallas Star. And back on Valentine's Day, Frank, when you did your deadline matchmaker segment, this is a duo that you connected, the Dallas Stars and Tanev. And over the last couple of weeks, whenever we'd talk about the Stars, I was like, man, that forward group is so damn good. The blue line was already good. You got Ottinger, but we kept saying, you know, you add that one piece on the blue line, and it really looked like Tanev was that guy. And man, we can see on our screen here with our DFO lines how deep that blue line now looks. This was speaking of matches made in heaven, Tanev and the Stars was exactly that.
Yeah, I love it from a pure stylistic standpoint. As I've mentioned a few times, the Stars, I think, have a style of play that is so translatable to the playoffs, which is why I picked them to win the Stanley Cup. And that was in the preseason. I don't feel any reason to alter those predictions right now. I think they've got just as good a chance as any. And when you talk about translating, their decor can play any style you want. They can skate like the wind. They're really efficient moving the puck, but they didn't have anyone on their back end that eats pucks. No big shot blocker. And that's what Chris Tanev is. He's second in the league. The Stars were 22nd. So that number will go up. And I think just in overall efficiency, he isn't fast, doesn't move the puck incredibly well, but he makes these real simple little plays to help get the puck to forwards that I think will be really beneficial for the Stars as well. He can help you out in front of the net. And I think fit-wise, this is perfect for Dallas. And I love the fact for them that for a team that's drafted in the NHL like nobody's business, they didn't give up their first-round pick. They didn't give up any of their top prospects. And they gave up a decent conditional pick. That's only if the Stars go to the Stanley Cup final, a decent bet for the Flames to make. But from that perspective, I really like just about every aspect of this deal for Dallas.
Yeah, the third round pick, I mean, if you end up going to a Cup final, who cares that you gave up another third round pick? You will not remember that at all. What would you say to the Flames? Because you said, I love the price Dallas paid as well, not giving up the first round pick, not giving up one of the top prospects. What would you say to the Flames fans who are maybe a little bit underwhelmed by this return?
I would say that this is where the market was trending the whole time. I read off a list of players earlier today on the DFO rundown, which we really went in depth on a lot of these different trades. But here are the players that got a first round pick among defensemen in a trade return over the last calendar year: Carlson, Provorov, Chychrun, Orlov, Hronek, Gavrikov, Ekholm. And there's two different cases: Sandin, who's 12 years younger than Tanev and a previous first round pick, and Jake McCabe, who had 2 years retained at half price, only $2 million. Those are different cases, but Tanev doesn't fit in that category of defenseman. And the market had clearly dictated to the Flames that the second round pick was going to be the limit. Now, instead of getting a conditional first, if they went to the Cup final, they were able to get a third instead. And that's an additional pick instead of just one, potentially. It could now be two picks. But the key for the Flames here was that they really liked Artem Grushnikov, who is physical. He's got a mean, nasty edge to his game. And they feel like he's someone that that could find his way to the NHL. I think a lot of people target him, the scouts that I trust, more along the lines of being a third pair defenseman. But if he makes it to the league, again, this is a guy in Tanev that wasn't coming back. And now the Flames can set their sights and have their plate clear to focus solely on Noah Hanifin, who we'll get to when we talk about the trade targets list.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. There's one more area I wanted to hit on with you when it comes to this, and it's the involvement of the New Jersey Devils. One, what do you make of a team that, I mean, hasn't really indicated they'll be sellers getting in the mix and retaining some money? And also, I know it's tough to read and it's long and drawn out, but there was a player that had to go back in this, and that's something that's probably going to be a factor in a couple of other deals, this new kind of wrinkle in the CBA.
Yeah, and someone had mentioned to me, not necessarily a wrinkle, but something that I don't think we all picked up on, but I would say the Devils' involvement in this, chef's kiss, like just smart thinking here. They've got a lot of LTIR space, more cap space than they could possibly use. So they leverage some of that cap space and get a fourth round pick in return. It's basically you're like paying for a draft pick. But here's what's important about that is because the Devils may be involved in the mix in other deals over the next week, that's just more collateral that they could throw into as part of a package to get something else done that they want. So cap space, use or lose. You can't take it with you. You might as well spend it. And for the Devils in that spot, I think a really smart move to be involved. And oh, by the way, that just keeps the lines of communication open between Tom Fitzgerald and Craig Conroy, two proud Americans who have been what? Talking about Jacob Markstrom over the last month.
What a beautiful transition, Frank. You threw that right on a tee for me. The goalie market is where I want to go next. And Jacob Markstrom is the big fish. Are you hearing anything on his availability or maybe lack thereof?
I think it's a thin market. But what I will say now is the Calgary Flames have absolute A prime position here on Jacob Markstrom moving forward. They're not in a rush. They don't need to move him. If New Jersey wants to rekindle things and knock their socks off between now and next Friday, be my guest is essentially their thought process. And sure, why not? But if not, Markstrom could help your team remain competitive. And maybe, just maybe, if you like to root for chaos, a first round matchup could materialize between the Flames and Dallas Stars, where the Flames could potentially be putting their own conditional pick at peril in that round. And I say that totally in jest, but the point is, take a look at the future goalie free agent market. I haven't done a full analysis of it yet because I'm so focused on the trades, but it looks like Kaapo Kähkönen may be the premier goalie available on the free agent market this summer. What does that mean? If there's only potentially one team in the hunt for Markstrom right now, the Flames could have that market totally cornered when it comes to this summer and have 4, 5, 6 teams that might want to get their hands on Jacob Markstrom, teams that are looking to change up their mix, teams that are looking to be more competitive or perhaps allocate more dollars to goaltending and stabilize their position. The Flames are in an absolute no-lose position when it comes to Markstrom moving forward.
So if the trade market could potentially be strong in the sense that teams will be willing to pay a lot in the summer, does that also maybe apply to some other teams? Could you see Montreal going, maybe we don't have to move Jake Allen? Could Washington say, ooh, Charlie Lindgren's going to be worth a lot to us on that draft floor come June? Or do you think they're itching to move?
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly where things would be trending for Charlie Lindgren. They're going to have a ton of value on their hands and no real reason for Washington to do it now. But I would say with regards to Allen that if there is a goalie to move between now and next Friday, the best bet would be Allen. I think the Habs are motivated to do that. I think they're motivated to clean up their crease a little bit after carrying three goalies all season. They've got one retained salary transaction slot left available, and Allen could be that guy. And the intriguing part about Allen is you could knock him down to half price, $1.9 million this year and next. I know people are down on Allen's game, but I'm not. His first 353 games played in the NHL, 9.11 save percentage. I think he's been playing with a tough team in front of him, and I think perhaps he's one of those guys that could maybe use a change of scenery that I see no reason why he can't bounce back.
Yeah, we'll see. Jake Allen, maybe the only goalie who could move between now and the deadline when you look at the market. Frank, we're going to continue the trade talk in a little bit, but I wanted to talk about something else that came through the hockey world yesterday, and it's a couple of changes that the PWHL announced, and I want to start with, call it the PWHL pick'em when it comes to the 2024 playoffs. The top four teams are going to make it, but first place is going to have the ability to choose their opponent. I absolutely love this. Again, like a lot of things the PWHL has done, I think they walk that line of being different and unique and eye-catching without going too far into like an XFL gimmicky style league. I absolutely love this.
That's such a great way to frame it, and you did it better than I could. That's sort of along the lines of what I was thinking is this is spicy. And I think it's only going to get spicier once the league continues to expand and put more teams in more markets, because on the whole right now, picking between three and four, if you're the number one seed, really isn't all that interesting. But when there's other teams in the mix and you have an 8 or 10 or 12 team league, all of a sudden, then it could be really intriguing. And same thing with the draft position. With such a small sample size and such a small team pool, the chase for this number one overall pick that will begin for those bottom two teams.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Whoever picks up the most points is going to get that number one pick. Intriguing. It wouldn't work for me at the NHL level, but I'm all for trying new things, and certainly this is definitely different.
Yeah, I agree with you on the NHL thing. I was thinking of this yesterday and I was like, boy, can you imagine a scenario where right now, like the Anaheim Ducks and the whoever else is at the bottom is like, oh no, we're keeping all of our UFAs because we actually want to win a bunch of games down the stretch to get the first overall pick. It would totally kill the trade deadline and it would mess with values. Like, I like it for the PWHL, but I saw some people like, oh, maybe the NHL, is this a way to curb tanking? It doesn't curb tanking at all, really.
No, and really what it does is it puts teams that actually really need those top picks at a significant disadvantage because they're already at a real talent disparity as it is.
Yeah, but still interesting stuff. Really liking what we continue to see out of the PWHL. Frank, let's get back into the trade talk with today's big segment. It's a new edition of Icebreakers. Icebreakers, as always, delivered by DoorDash, 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Take advantage of the Double Dash feature, which lets you add a second stop on your DoorDash order for zero extra delivery fees. Download the app, use the promo code today, and dash that for the win. Frank, it's new trade targets day as we are about 8 days away from the NHL trade deadline. And we talked about Chris Tanev earlier in the show. He's gone off the board. Noah Hanifin, though, still there. What's the latest on the Flames defenseman?
Well, as mentioned, the Flames can now focus almost solely and completely on Hanifin, and it's going to require a ton of attention and effort because right now, Noah Hanifin essentially is holding the Calgary Flames hostage. What does that mean? How could that possibly be the case? Officially, he only has an 8-team no trade list. So theoretically, the Flames could trade him to any of the other 23 teams that aren't on his no list. The problem is, because he's a pending unrestricted free agent, he's flexed a little bit of muscle here, and he's provided Calgary with some of his preferred destinations. And more than that, other teams that are potential suitors, all the Hanifin camp has to do is whisper to them, we're not re-signing here long-term. And that's essentially what's happened here. So there's a list of preferred destinations where he would consider signing long-term. There's a very small list, if any, that would consider him in a pure rental fashion. And who exactly is on that list for Hanifin? I can tell you that I've confirmed that the two teams in Florida are most definitely on the list, Tampa Bay and the Florida Panthers. Outside of that, it's some speculation and guesswork, but I would say that some of the other teams on Hanifin's preferred destination list include Vegas, Los Angeles, and Boston. Now, here's the problem tying a bunch of those teams together, including Boston and the two teams in Florida. They don't have first-round picks, and Florida and Tampa specifically don't have first-round picks until 2026. So what the Flames are dealing with is a limited market here, where as part of the acquisition cost, an acquiring team also would then likely need to sign him to an extension, which further limits the acquisition cost and few assets. All I'm telling you is the Flames are going to get for Noah Hanifin, or should, more than they got for Chris Tanev. My question is, how much more and how much of a grind will this be over the next 8 days?
So if you're a Flames fan who is disappointed in the return for Tanev, giddy up is what you're saying?
I would say instead, judge Craig Conroy when it's all said and done on the totality return package for five pending unrestricted free agents: Toffoli, Zadorov, Lindholm, Hanifin, and Tanev. And then we can talk.
Interesting. So Chris Tanev out of your top 10. Obviously, someone's got to take that spot. And the name is, drum roll, Sean Walker in Philadelphia. Frank, he is up to number two. Certainly looking more likely than not he's on the move, correct?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Flyers have been engaged in what I would call substantive negotiations with Walker and Nick Seeler's camp over the last couple weeks, and I think they've been scared away by the ask. Now, that's not to say that an extension can't materialize, but the way I would handicap it right now is that it's more likely than not that Walker will be on the move. Seeler is a bit of a wild card because I think his number was maybe slightly more palatable, but some of the early indications seem to indicate that Walker was looking for somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million a year on an extension that was multiple years, 3 or 4 years, whatever it might be. And the Flyers are looking at that saying, hey, he's played great this year. He's been a valuable addition, but I don't think they're in any position to be locking up their blue line for the next number of years at that type of price level. So I think the likelihood of a trade has been ratcheted up. The only thing the Flyers are trying to juggle between now and then is, which I don't think they'll get lost in because it's all about the long view, but Rasmus Ristolainen is out, as well as Jamie Drysdale, for the next few weeks. So if you were to potentially trade Walker and or Seeler between now and the deadline, you're talking about potentially cutting off completely your team's playoff chances, and the Flyers could drop like a rock in the standings. So that's why they're pretty considerate when it comes to what happens next. The Flyers, I think, are looking for a second round pick, probably a package not all that different than Tanev, and he is significantly younger than Tanev, so certainly within the realm of possibility. But keep an eye on Walker as we get closer to next Friday.
Interesting. Let's move along to the forward market. Two teammates within your top five are Riley Smith and Jay Guentzel, but they've played a friendly little game, a leapfrog here. Frank, why do you have Riley Smith ahead of Guentzel on this list?
Because sources indicate the Pittsburgh Penguins have received more interest and more teams interested so far in Riley Smith than Jay Guentzel. Surprised? Maybe you shouldn't be. It's not because of Guentzel's injury. It's just because Smith is not a rental. He has 1 year left on his deal next year at $5 million, and he hasn't been a fit in Pittsburgh. Let's not get this twisted, but he is someone that was a huge playoff contributor to the Vegas Golden Knights last year, and someone that I think a lot of teams believe that they could rehab, particularly if the Pittsburgh Penguins are willing to retain half on Smith to juice a return. So maybe that opens up a door that they get a haul for Smith and maybe roll the dice and keep Guentzel. I'd still be surprised if that's the case, but the Guentzel transaction isn't necessarily cut and dry either. They should be asking for an absolute haul for him because of him being the most impactful forward on our board, north of a point per game in four of the last five seasons. So all that to say, Smith is certainly in demand from the Penguins, and they're in a spot now in the standings where they probably can't ignore some of those calls.
Another set of teammates in your top 10, Nick Dowd and Anthony Mantha in Washington. This has the potential to be a very busy deadline for Capitals GM Brian McClellan. What's the market like for a guy like Dowd? I think we get the sense it's pretty strong. And then also Mantha, who is a bit of an interesting case.
He is, and what I would say about the Caps in general before we continue is my understanding is they really haven't engaged with teams on trade discussions yet because they're trying to put the pedal down and make the playoffs, and they're really not far off. You know, I think eye test wise, we look at the Caps and not very many have taken them seriously this season based on the way that it's unfolded. Although they've been markedly better under Spencer Carberry, who is unquestionably a really good coach. They are currently 6 points back of the Flyers with two games in hand. So they're not in full sell mode, but there's a ton of possibilities on this Caps team to move. Strong interest in Nick Dowd, who's expected to be back in the next couple days here. He's been out since February 20th. Mantha is having his best season in 5 years. He's a pending UFA, a big body guy who's certainly has tons of talent, but his work ethic and compete has been called into question among scouts and managers. You've got Joel Edmondson, an insurance piece on the back end. And I'll throw one more name in the mix that's on our trade targets board and certainly rose a bit, would be Max Pacioretty. Name to keep an eye on. Only a $2 million salary cap hit. The second player in Caps franchise history other than Alex Ovechkin to have a no move clause. So he is in complete and total control here. But if the Caps are out, I wonder if a team like the Florida Panthers, limited assets, could be a good fit for Pacioretty as we get closer.
And that cap hit being chopped in half by the Caps and only being $1 million would be very enticing for a guy like Pacioretty. Lastly, Frank,
I'll tell you what, though. The Cats, by the way, the Florida Panthers are certainly working the phones. They're trying to find fits and ways to improve this team with a Walmart-type budget in terms of assets that they've got there.
Always an interesting challenge this time of year for a team like Florida, who a couple years ago, Drew went all in, and now you kind of sit there and it's like, oh God, in 2022, when you go and go, we're trading our 2025, our 2026 first rounders. It's like, oh, those are so far away. Who cares? And you get to this point, it's like, oh crap, we have nothing to spend. Another guy having a great year, Frank Vatrano, on pace for 37 goals and music to GM's ears, Frank. He comes with term and a pretty good cap hit as well. Is the market starting to heat up on this guy?
It is, and certainly some eyebrows raised on Wednesday. Ducks GM Pat Verbeek in the building at Madison Square Garden. Frank Vatrano, previously of the New York Rangers, they liked the fit there. Here's what I'm told on Vetrano. The Ducks are not really all that enthused or intrigued about the idea of trading him, because part of the problem is you trade Vetrano and then you need to go out and find the next Frank Vetrano for next season. But they also recognize that at this juncture, with Vetrano's cap hit at just $3.65 million for next year, he's close to touching 30 goals for the first time in his career. That's extraordinary value and way more valuable for contending teams in the hunt than it is to a team like Anaheim, given where they are in the standings. So they may be forced into making a Vetrano trade with an offer that they can't refuse. And I would keep the Rangers on the list of those teams that have certainly been in pursuit of Vetrano.
Like drinking out of a fire hose. Tons of information in today's edition of Icebreakers, as trade talk is only heating up more. That full new trade targets list is coming later on today at dailyfaceoff.com. That's a wrap for today's Icebreakers, delivered by DoorDash. Let's move along quickly to our daily face-off inbox question, brought to you by Tourism Jasper. Head to jasper.travel to find out how you can make the most of the last few weeks of winter in the Rockies. Joe was in. He wants to know which player, or maybe which GM, you could see being the next one to make a splash.
I always look at the West. I mean, Colorado, Vegas, and Edmonton. Now that Dallas has acted, they've kept their powder dry. All three of those teams are making trades between now and next Friday. I don't know when, but one of those three.
We know there are six legitimate cup contenders out West, and we've speculated that this could turn into a little bit of an arms race. Vancouver's made their splashes. Dallas has as well. Winnipeg. I think that's a great point on the rest of the teams in the West. Let's move along to our daily bets for Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Frank, couple of plays for you tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs on the puck line, taking on the Arizona Coyotes. They handled the Coyotes incredibly easy earlier, a week ago, when they went down to Arizona. And I like them to do it again. Joe Wall is making his return to the crease as well. Toronto's been a pretty decent home bet this season. So give me the puck line at nearly even money for my shot prop parlay today. A couple of players. Bobby McMahon came through for me earlier in the week. He has been on a great pace with this number at 1.5 over his last 10 games. And Jack Roslovic of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He didn't see him in the top 10 of the trade targets board. Don't care about that. I care about the fact he's hit 7 straight shot props, Frank. He's been over this number a ton as of late. Play these two together at a very nice plus 164. The better question, Frank, are we going to roll over Matthews' 2+ goals against the Yotes again? Are we going to squad ride on that?
No, that was a one-time thing trying to get to 50.
The old one and done. Let's wrap up the show with Garbage Time, brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Download the Wendy's app today and score 150 bonus rewards points. Head to dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com to see if you can move on like myself and Frank Saravalli. We're on to the third day, Frank. What are you going with?
Charlie Coyle to get a point. He has won in 36 of the Bruins' 60 games this year that he's played. I don't know. Math says that's a good bet, better than some of these other ones. I would peg Winnipeg's chances against Dallas at 51%, according to some analytical models. That's the only other one I would really consider. I know you like, we're thinking about the Erickson Ek to not score. I just don't like rooting for people to not do stuff.
I don't mind being a hater. Lock me in. Joel Eriksson Ek under half a golden night. He hasn't scored in 4 straight for the Wild, although he is having a hell of a season. So I'm nervous, but I'm going with my gut. Eriksson Ek under half a goal. Last night in the NHL, Frank, it was Connor McDavid stealing the show on national TV, potting the OT winner, and then having some fun with the TNT crew afterwards.
You can hear him singing right there. Before that, Connor, he was wondering why you lied to us and said you weren't going to shoot the puck again. He was expecting you to pass, I think, on that final play.
Well, there was no one to pass to. I was looking, but just decided to shoot it.
He also joked in the room after that he was looking for Zach Hyman, but Himes must have, quote, given up on the play. So Connor McDavid last night, when the spotlight's brightest, he shines through again, gives the Oilers a second straight win. And he's come out of his shell a little bit over the last week.
Yeah, I enjoy the humor of being asked about the goalless drought. And he says, no, I'm going to stop shooting. I mean, this is the best player in the world. It's only a matter of time before he scores again. And now he's back on track. And even just that one goal certainly more than the other Connor, who's also not piling up any assists. Mr. Brown, what a tough run it's been for him in Edmonton.
Yeah, tough go for him. Also, just quickly on McDavid, that celebration of just kind of straight face, snap the chin strap off for no reason, that went hard. Rogers' place was electric last night as you were this win in overtime.
Low-key 6 Ellie.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. All right, that is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Tomorrow, Stephen Ellis. Also, mock trades. We're doing a little Who Says No with listener-submitted deals on tomorrow's show. You won't want to miss it. A fun Friday lined up. We'll chat with you at noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.